Good morning. Today's daf in Nizikin is Nizikin. I'm looking at the perek. For today's daf in Gittin is Memtes. We start the fifth perek of the Masechta, and it's called Anizakin. The Thank Ruben Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Daf is on Zech Nizmas Liba Gabriela Bashmol. It is, we're leaving the world of Gittin, we're entering into the world of Nizikin. And so that explains my... My mistake this morning. And in fact, even before we start a word of Gemara, we could look at the first Tosfos on the Amud. It's the first Tosfos on the Perek. What's going on right now? Why are we not going to be talking about Gittin for the remainder of this Perek? For the entirety of this Perek. So if you look at the first Tosfos, Tosfos says, Ein Einin Nizikin El Gittin. I'm sorry, Ein Einin Nizikin Eitzel Gittin. So the Tosfos points out that what have we been doing in the fourth parak of the Masechta? We've been talking about Tikkun Olam, various takanas that were made by the Chachamim, right? Stopgap measures that were instituted by the Chachamim for various reasons. I mean, we went over so many. A lot of them having to do with Ebekanani, some having to do with selling yourself into slavery, the Prusbel that was discussed in the fourth, and the fourth paragraph was huge in terms of Tikkun Olam. So as long as we're off topic, going off topic anyway because of Tikkun Olam. So here we are in the fifth paragraph of the Masechta, and we're going to talk about various institutions that were made of Tikkun Olam, and so that's how we get on to our paragraph and our discussion. It will be a departure from Gittin for this entire paragraph, and then once we go back to the sixth paragraph, we go back to Inyanim of actual Gittin itself. Okay, so that is a broad look at our paragraph in terms of where we're going to be. We're going to be here for a while. We're going to be in the fifth perek of the Masechta for the next 2 weeks of daf. Okay, so get comfortable. Sit back, relax. Okay, just one other word, introductory note before we start the perek, and that is that land gets graded. The best way to think about it, it's not a real example, but the best way to think about it is a monopoly board. So everyone has that good picture of Atlantic City and the monopoly board. Just totally trivial information. Monopoly is based on the city of Atlantic City. So the streets, that is, and the properties. So anyway, but if you look around the board, so you'll see that there are four sides to the board, but basically it's different grades of property, good properties, bad properties, you know, and some properties in the middle. So the property gets graded, and the way that the Chachamim look at property is that basically in three grades. Idus is the best, is Yiboros is the worst, and Bainanus is right there in the middle. The grading system of the Chachamim, so it's not perfectly clear to me how it's done in terms of appraisal and grading, but basically the basic idea is that the better the quality of the property, so then you need less of it in order to get to your total. If it's really bad property, it's inferior quality property, so you need more of it in order to get to your total to get to your total amount. That's the basic idea. And as Rashi points out in the Mishnah, and I'll show you the Rashi as we get to the Mishnah, The people in general prefer smaller amounts of good quality property rather than a greater amount of inferior quality property. That's the general consensus of what people would want. And so therefore the assumption is that given the choice, because if money is owed, you're obviously going to get the amount commensurate to the money that's owed to you. That's obvious. It's just a question of how to get to that amount. People in general would want better quality land, even though it's less of it, rather than getting inferior quality land, even though you're going to be getting more of it. That's a general consensus. Rashi says in the Mishnah, I'll show you the Rashi inside, where that's clear. Okay, and the other, just one other introductory note regarding appraisals of property and the grading of properties, it is Benes and Ziborius, is that it's not an objective grade. It'll become clear as we go through the Gemara. There's no objective measurement of, that's A grade property. That's the best. No, the way the grading system works is on a sliding scale and it's on a curve. Everything is graded on a curve. So in other words, let's say you own various properties. So for what you may be considered is, for me, may be considered like, that's terrible. That's your best. I mean, I guess that's your best, but I wouldn't consider it. In other words, my properties are much better than that. So the whole system of grading is done on a curve, and it's not an objective measurement. And that also will become clear as we go through the sugya, but I'm just mentioning it now so that we have a general idea and understanding of what we're about to see in the Mishnah and the Gemara coming up. With all that stated, let's begin. So if you are a nizak, if you're somebody who is a victim of damages, somebody damaged you, someone rammed a car into your property or into you, someone's animal damaged you or your property, so in other words, the whole world of a bakama, so once you're entitled to payment of nezek, so shaman lam be'idis, so now the mazik has to pay you with the best grade property, with idis. I guess over here, let's insert a comment, which, again, there's a Rashi, there are two Rashis in today's daf that are going to be very clear about this point. Rashi's position is that we're talking about paying off of damages, right? I drive my car into your property, and I knock down your mailbox. It happens all the time. Not by me. I mean, I do it occasionally, but it happens all the time. So under those circumstances, so I got to pay for the damages. So Rashi says, and I'll show you the Rashis later on over the course of today's daf. Rashi says you don't have to pay with property, meaning I don't have to go back to my house and say to the victim, look, I'm really sorry I damaged you, and I know I owe you money. Here, let's section off a piece of my property. You'll take it, right? In other words, it's certainly not the most convenient way to pay for damages. The best way to pay for damages is money, right? Cash is certainly the best way to pay for damages. Rashi, in fact, says it twice in today's daf, that cash is the best way to pay for damages in the event that the damager, the mazik, is cashless. So then there is a lien against the properties, against those damages, and which properties are now going to be collected? It is. They're the best of the properties. Okay, that's a general point, but Rashi says a couple times. I'll show you the Rashis later on. Finally, not yet. Bachov bebeinonis. Now, if you are a general creditor, right, you're owed money from somebody, not because of damages, just simply because you lent money or whatever. This is just an outstanding obligation. So that's paid bebeinonis. That's paid with mid-grade property. Ksuvas isha bezibaris, and then in terms of ksuvas isha, which is also really an obligation, it's an outstanding obligation. In the event that a woman gets becomes a widow or divorcee, so she's now entitled to the ksuva payment, and it's a contractual obligation, and you might have suggested that she's going to be paid with beinonis because it's really just a chov, it's just an outstanding obligation, but the Mishnah says that the ksuva sisha is paid with zibor, she's getting the most inferior of lands. Rav Meir omer af ksuva sisha bebeinonis. On this point, Rav Meir disagrees. He says that the ksuva sisha is paid with beinonis. We're going to be discussing later on that machlokus between the Tanakam and Rav Meir, exactly why the ksuva sisha is either going to be comparable to a regular obligation, that's Rav Meir, or no, that the woman gets paid with the inferior property. That's something we're going to be discussing later on. Now, in terms of an obligation, if let's say I'm holding a note against you, and I'm now interested in getting paid, and right now I go to you and you say, look, I sold off all my properties, and I know you have a lien against all those properties, right? All those properties that I owned at the time of the origination of the loan, all those properties are mortgaged against the note, and now I'm coming to collect, and I say to him, okay, pay me. He says, look, I sold off all those properties, except I have one left. Now, it happens to be that property is Ziboris. It's the worst. It's inferior grade property. So you could have made the argument, well, wait one second, obligations are to be paid with beinonis. You go hunt down your buyers and get me a beinonis property. So the Mishnah says no. The Mishnah says that as long as the borrower has property, even if it's Ziboris, even if it's the worst property, the creditor can only collect from the Ziboris. He can't go after lien property, mortgage properties, if the properties were sold. If the borrower has any property left by him, even if that property is Ziboris. Another safeguard measure that was instituted by the Chachamim is the following. Let's say your borrower dies, and now you still have a note outstanding against the person. The person's no longer alive, but the property was mortgaged against that note. So now you still have an outstanding obligation, and that lien is on the properties. And now you're going after the Yisomim, you're going after the orphans. So the Mishnah says another security measure that was done, another tikkun olam that was done, is that when you're collecting from the orphans, you can only collect from Ziboris. The lien is only going to go and be applied against the inferior grade property, not the bainanis that you would have received.
How can a person sell property that is already meshubad?
We're not discussing where there was a lien against a specific property. Meaning, generally speaking, you and I, when we think about, you know, the banks and loans, so the lien is going on a specific property, right? What we discussed recently in Apotiki. But over here, it's a general lien against all your properties. Okay. So, the next point in the Mishnah. Next part of the Mishnah discusses the following scenario. Reuven steals land from Shimon. Okay, that's not nice, but okay, that's what happens. Reuven steals land from Shimon, and then Reuven sells the property, compounding the error, but with a sale. Okay, Reuven is not a particularly pleasant individual, but this is the case that the Mishnah is describing. So again, Reuven steals from Shimon, and Reuven sells it off. Now, Shimon finally has enough. Judicial backing, where finally Shimon is now going to go to court and get his land back. So now the purchaser of that land from Reuven. So now he's he's in a terrible position. Meaning he didn't know that what he bought was. Let's assume. Let's just make this nice and simple. He didn't know what he was buying was stolen property. Okay, but now the property was taken away from him. And since he bought the property, he put a lot of work and effort into that property. And let's give him a name. Let's call him Levi. So Levi put in a lot of work and effort into the property, and he worked it, and he put in expenditure. And not only that, but there's growth in the property as well, and all that was taken away from him. So now Levi is certainly an aggrieved party, and he's going to go after. So who is he going to go after? So the first, he can't go after the Nigzal. He can't go after the victim, who actually owns the property. The only thing he can get out of him, explains Rashi, is just Yitzia. In other words, he put money into the land, so that's the only thing that the Nigzal is actually required to pay Levi.
Why? He didn't want it.
Huh?
He didn't want the improvement.
Let's assume that the improvement is a good thing. And he would have done it. Now, if he didn't want it at all, so then I hear it. In other words, I hear the argument you're making. But just for our purposes, let's just assume that it's good and it's something that's beneficial. And okay, but I hear your point. Okay, now after that, where's Levi going to turn to? Levi's going to go to the mocher. He's going to go to the seller, the thief, and he's going to say to the thief, okay. You sold me a piece of property and it was stolen property. And when you sold me the property, you sold it to me with achrayah, you sold it to me with a guarantee. Meaning that if anyone were to take the property away from me, there's recourse. You have personal responsibility to reimburse me for the entire property. And when I say the entire property, I mean not only the property that you sold me, but, in other words, there was growth on the property, there's fruit on the property. In other words, you're going to reimburse me for everything that was taken away from me. And here's now where the Mishnah is making a distinction. On the actual property itself, so he can now go after the mocher, and not only go after the mocher, but go after the mocher's property as well. Meaning, because this was a contracted sale, and so therefore there was a note connected with the sale of this property, so therefore there is going to be a lien against the seller's properties themselves, so that not only can Levi go after the seller, but Levi can go after the seller's properties as well in terms of recouping the loss of the property that was taken away. However, the Mishnah says, what about all the growth on the property and the improvement on the property? So that he also has, he can go after the seller, but he can only go after the seller and only that which he has on hand. There is not going to be any lien against improvements and against payros. Why should that be? We're going to be discussing that later in the Gemara, but that's the point the Mishnah is making. I'll read that one more time in the Mishnah. In terms of payros, in terms of improvements, and then also on top of that, mazon isha, support for the wife, and vahabanos, and support for the daughters. And again, we're going to discuss that later as well. There's not going to be a lien against the properties for these obligations. These obligations are only going to be settled with only cash on hand, or assets on hand. But there's not going to be a lien on properties against these obligations. And again, Tikkun Olam, we're going to be discussing this in much greater detail later on, not today. And then the Mishnah makes one final point, and that is, I find a wallet. I return it to the owner. The owner opens up the wallet and says, thank you so much, but I've noticed that when I lost the wallet, there were $100, and now I find that there are only $50 in the wallet. Can you do me a small favor? I know you're a good person, but no good deed goes unpunished. Can you swear to me that you didn't take the $50? I'm very appreciative that you returned it to me. It's just, let's just be realistic, there was $100 in there, and now there are only 50. And there were two 50s in there. And what happened to the other 50? Just swear to me that you didn't take the other 50. So, okay, that's great. I'll swear, and I will never return a lost object again, because I want to go to Beis Din, and I want to make a shvua in Beis Din, holding a Sefer Torah, using Shem Hashem, just because I did a good job, just because I did a good deed. No, thank you. I will not do it again. The Mishnah, the Chachamim realized this is going to be the net result of having to have to make a shvua every time you return a lost object, or not every time, but there's that chance. So the Chachamim said, you know what? You return a lost object, you're going to get protection. You're going to get indemnified. You're not going to have to make a shvua moda b'miksas when you return a lost object, and that also is going to once again fall under the category of tikkun olam. We start with the Gemara. Mimnei tikkun olam daraisehi. We're going now to the first point of the Mishnah. Right, the Gemara operates kaseder. We are starting point by point. First point of the Mishnah was nizakin. Right, if you are a damaged party, so how is the damager going to have to pay you? So the Mishnah says it's going to be paid with iddis. But the way the Mishnah sounds, like the whole context of the Mishnah, tikkun olam, that was a special institution made by the Chachamim. To which the Gemara says, what are you talking about? Tikkun olam daraisehi. The idea that you have to pay with your best property, that's a din daraisa, dichsiv, meitav sedeo, meitav kamo yishalem. The Torah describing it's, in terms of Parshios, perfect, right? We are right now, we're in the week of Mishpatim. We're now reading from Mishpatim. It's perfect. So the Torah says that when you do damage, you pay Metav Sadehu, Metav Karmo, the best of his property and the best of his vineyard and the best of his property. Now, to be fair, by the way, it says Sadehu, his. And it's a possessive, but it's not perfectly clear whose property we're talking about. It's either going to be the damager, it's going to be the damagee. Amar Abai lo tzricha ella Rabbi Yishmael da Amar midaraisa b'din nizek shayminan. So the Gemara says, yes, the Torah does say meitav, and the word meitav does mean best. But the way Abai explains it is that, look, this word, as we're about to see in just a moment, it's machlokis tanaim, Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Kiva, whose property we're talking about. Are we talking about the mazik, or are we talking about the nizak? According to Rabbi Yishmael, we're talking about the nizak, the damagee, the victim. It's the best of his property. Kamash malam, mimnei tikkun olam, shamim medamazik. And that's what our Mishnah is talking about. Our Mishnah is operating through the perspective of Rabbi Shmuel. According to Rabbi Shmuel, the Torah does require the payment of the best property, but only the best property of the nizak, the one who was damaged. And then tikkun olam, what the Chachamim instituted is, you know what? We want the mazik to feel the pinch of the fact that he damaged. So now when an assessment is made in terms of grading the properties, we're going to go with the best property of the mazik, not the nizak. And that's the tikkun olam according to Rabbi Shmuel. Now as we'll see in just a moment, according to Rabbi Kiva, there is no such institution necessary, because according to Rabbi Kiva, he understood the pasuk to mean bide mazik. So according to Rabbi Kiva, it's not a tikkun olam, it's not even a function of tikkun olam. So not the only way, but right now the way to understand the Mishnah is that the Mishnah is operating through the principle of Rabbi Shmuel. My Rabbi Shmuel de Tanya. So the first thing the Gemara is going to now do is just first of all introduce us to the machlokus between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva. We learned on the Braisa, Meitav Sadeo, Meitav Kamo Yishle, Meitav Sadeo Shal Nizak, O Meitav Kamo Shal Nizak, Divrei Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel says that when the Torah says you have to pay the best of his land, the best of his vineyard, it means the best of his, the aggrieved, the victim, the Nizak, the one who was damaged. So why? You'll see. We're gonna explain. Rabbi Kiva Amar Lo Ba'al Kosev Ela LaGabbos in the Zakim and Neidus. The Kavachomer LaHekdesh. Rabbi Kiva says no. We're coming to collect from the best of the Mazik and Kavachomer LaHekdesh, and it's built on a Kavachomer from Hekdesh. Stay tuned. We're going to discuss the Kavachomer a little bit later this morning. Ula Rabbi Shmuel. So now at this point in time, eventually we're going to understand Rabbi Shmuel the way I presented it from the very beginning. But the Gemara itself is going to take a moment to wrap its head around the position of Rabbi Shmuel. In other words, if you read the words of Rabbi Shmuel says, you pay the best of the Nizak. What does that mean? So, what the Gemara is thinking right now is the following. My animal goes to my neighbor's field. My animal eats a row of whatever he's growing in my neighbor's field. Now, it says Meitav Sadehu. Right now, we think what Rabbi Shmuel means is the following. Not every row is going to be the same in terms of value. Some rows are qualitatively good, some are bad. What Rabbi Shmuel is saying, at least what we think right now, is that we're always going to assess the best row, even if that's not what the animal actually ate. And so the Gemara says, it can't possibly be. Meaning, how could you possibly assess the damage based on what his best row is, if what my animal ate was not the best row, but it was a lesser quality row? Meaning, there's no way the Torah is going to expect me to pay more than what I damaged. I understand the Torah is going to expect me to pay what I damaged, but over that which I damaged can't possibly be. So Amar Avidi Barav and Achma Ma'iskin Kigon Sha'achla Aruga Bein Arugos V'lo Yadin Hai Kachusha Achal Ish Bein Achal Demeshalam Imeitav. So the Gemara makes another suggestion. Okay, maybe the case that Rabbi Shmuel is discussing is the following. Maybe it's my animal goes into my neighbor's field, it eats a row, and it happens to be that there's a range of good row, mid-range row, and bad row, and we don't know which one the animal ate. And under such circumstances, Rabbi Shmuel demands, well, we don't know, you have to pay the best. The Gemara says, Amar Rava Ila Yadina de Khusha Acha Masham Khusha, Hashadola Yadina Masham Shemena Motzme Chaver Ola Varaya. And the Gemara rejects this out of hand. The Gemara says, can't be. We know that whenever money's transferred from one to another, there has to be proof positive that that money's owed. We have a principle of possession being not 9/10 of the law, but 10/10 of the law. Right? Possession is everything. Hamotzme Chaver Ola Varaya. And if I'm extracting money out of your hand, you have to know that the money's owed to you. If we're talking about a scenario where my animal goes onto somebody else's property and damages. Now, obviously, that's not right. But in terms of assessing how much I owe him, we're not going to round up. We're always going to round down. You don't know which row my animal ate, and now you're coming to tell me that I owe you money? So we're going to assume that on the range of, it could have been a $50 row, a $100 row, and we don't know. You're only going to take $50 out of my pocket. You're not going to take more than that. So Amar of Achbar Yaakov Achbar Ma'iskin. So finally, now the Gemara is wrapping its head around the position of Rabbi Shmuel Kagon. So here we go now, where this is the pshat in Rabbi Shmuel. Again, the Torah says, Meitav Sadeo Meitav Karmo. You pay with the best of the field. And the Gemara says, this is the pshat according to Rabbi Shmuel. The damaged person has a three levels of property, three grades of property. Edis, Bein, and Nisi, Boris. The Mazik, the damager, in this case, let's call myself the damager has three grades of property. Now, it happens to be that, again, like I mentioned in the beginning of today's shiur, right, it's not an objective grading, it's done on a curve. So it happens to be that his best property, right, the damagee, is, from my perspective, Ziboris. Meaning it happens to be that I'm right, my properties in general just better than his. And so his A is my C. So now, I have to pay him the best. Whose best? His best or my best? The Gemara says that's the pshat in Rabbi Yishmael. Kigon Shai say this Denizik is the boros the mazik Rabbi Yishmael suffer, but Denizik Shaiminan. So Rabbi Yishmael's position is, okay, I'm really sorry. I know I damaged your property. Your A is my C. Here's my C to pay you back. Right? And it is the best. It's not my best, but it's your best. That's Rabbi Shmuel. So, Savar b'denizik shaminan, Rabbi Kiva, Savar b'demazik shaminan. And Rabbi Kiva's of the opinion, no. That when you pay, when the damager pays, you pay b'mazik. So, in other words, so if I'm now going to have to pay, even though my C is comparable to his A, but I'm going to be paying with my A. even though it is way above his A. Okay. That's a
mach. He ends up with more.
No. Again, let's go back to what we said in the beginning of the shiur today. In terms of actual amount, financial, right, value amount, the value is always going to be the same. It's just now a question of,
bond rating.
Right. Correct. It's all going to be the same dollar amount. Just now a question of what actual physical property he's going to be walking away with. He's not walking with the property. I mean, property is pretty much staying put. But in other words, is he getting a little bit of super high-grade quality? Or no? Is he going to have to get an abundance of, or, you know, from his perspective, you know, from the damaged perspective, you know, if for him it's the best, but from the damager's perspective, it's not that good. But in terms of value, it's all the same. And I told you I was going to highlight a Rashi. Let's do that right now. Rashi says... yeah, I know. I myself, I didn't underline it, but I know it's here. So Ainley Lamalos. Okay, fine. Yeah, the first Rashi on Mem Tes Amud Aleph. Rashi says, "Ula Rabbi Shmuel Nami Ein Shama Nachila Aruga Ela Lefi Masha Haisa Im Shmena Shmena Im Kechusha Kechusha Ola Acher Shenishuma BeBeisdin." An assessment is made in Beisdin in terms of how much is damaged. VaAmar, and the damager says, "Ainley Maos Aparo, I don't have money." So now, yito karka b'dmeimos. Then you take property. So as I mentioned in the beginning of today's shiur, obviously when we're talking about settling an obligation here, an obligation that was created by damage, so if I'm settling an obligation, obviously the best is money. So it's this is Rashi's understanding of our entire Gemara. The underlying assumption is, first things first, you have cash, cash is king. You pay me, and if you don't have money, if you don't have cash, so then now we're going to talk about properties, and we'll talk about which grade property, and then on top of that, we're now going to have another discussion of even when we're saying that by damages you pay the best, who's best, the damager, the mazik, or the damagee, the nizak. That's the way to understand the entire Gemara according to Rashi.
But then the value is different.
Again, value is not going to be different. The amount that's going to be paid from the damager, the damagee, is going to have to equal that appraised damage. It's just a question of which property is going to be given. Is it going to be A, B, or C? A little bit of A, a little bit more of B, or a lot of C? But in terms of money, no. No one's going to get shortchanged. The damagee is not going to get shortchanged. It's just a question of which quality of land he's getting. Okay, adkan. And then, finally, just to wrap up the entire sugya, and now when our Mishnah says that when the Mazik pays, he pays be'edis, he pays with the best. So, and the Mishnah says Tikkun Olam, and the Gemara says, what are you talking about Tikkun Olam? It's not Tikkun Olam. It's a pasuk in the Torah. So according to Rabbi Akiva, it's a good point. You're right. There is no Tikkun Olam that you have to pay with the best and the best of the Mazik, because Rabbi Akiva says that's what the Torah demands. Our Mishnah is going according to the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel is of the opinion that you pay with the best, but the best of the Nizak. And then the Chachamim said, we want the Mazik to feel it. We want him to get pinched because he damaged. And we want him to feel, hey, you shouldn't do that again. So you know what? You're going to pay. And not only going to pay, but you're going to pay with the best property. And even though the Torah only demands that you pay with the best of his property, the damagee, the damaged, the aggrieved, we're going to have you pay now with your best. Okay. According to Rabbi Shmuel, that's not understanding the mission. That's Tikkun Olam.
Only in this particular case, if it was backwards, the Nezik would lose money.
Again, no one's. I'm not following. No one's going to lose money.
It's not. It would get lower properties if the values were opposite.
I see. In other words, I see your question. Meaning, if let's say the scale works in such that the best of the Nizak is really the like a C of the Mazik. Right, or right. In other words, I understand your point. Okay, and then I'm not sure about. You'll see in just a moment the Gemara. It will play a little bit around with the values. Okay, well, not the values, the quality of the property. Okay, we'll come back to that in just a moment. My time is the Rabbi Shmuel. We're back in the Gemara. We're in Mem Tes Amud Aleph. And although we have now clarified the positions, we didn't explain why. Meaning, why is it that when Rabbi Shmuel reads the pasuk, he understands that the Torah says, Metav Sedeo, Metav Karmo, it's going from the perspective of the Nizak. Why, according to when Rabbi Akiva reads the pasuk, it's going from the perspective of the Mazik? In other words, we know the positions. We don't know why they read them the pasuk. That's the Gemara's next platform. My time at the Rabbi Shmuel Nemar Sada Lamata Nemar Sada Lamala Masa Dehamur Lamala Denizak Afsa Dehamur Lamata Denizak. Okay, do me a favor. I can't borrow your Gemara because your Gemara has the entire pasuk. Mine doesn't. Okay. Right, this week's parsha, Perek Chav Beis and Shmos, Pasuk Dalet. Ki Yivar Ish, Ki Yavir Ish, I even have my glasses on. Ki Yavir Ish Sadeh Okerem V'Shilach Es Bi'iro Uvir B'Stei Acher. Okay, what happens is that a person sends his Bi'iro, his animals, into someone else's property. And when I say send, doesn't in other words,
it goes.
My animal's going to someone else's property. Meitav sadeo, meitav kamo yishalem. You got to pay the best of his land and the best of his vineyard. So what Rabbi Akiva is doing essentially is, let's read the pasuk in totality. Ki avi ish sdei o keren v'shilach is biro ubir b'stei acher. Your animal goes into somebody else's sadeh. So in the beginning of the pasuk, who are we describing over here? Obviously the mazik. And the mazik's animals. So now Rabbi Akiva says, just stay with that context. Meaning context really gives away the pshat and the psukim. So stay with that context. So meitav sadehu, meitav karmo yishalem. So you pay the best of his field. Okay, the mazik. That's Rabbi Akiva. So
it's still vague. I mean, he...
Agreed. We know it's vague because the Tanaim are arguing. So correct. There's room for arguing, and not only is there room for it, but they do.
Correct.
So by the way, I don't know if this is a classic Zeirah Shava. In other words, because it's really all contained within the same pasuk. It seems a little bit more like a hekesh than a Gzeirah Shava, but I guess you can argue that point. So my time at the Rabbi Shmuel Nemar Sada Matav Nemar Sada Lamala Masada Amur Lamala Denizak Avsada Amur Lamata Denizak. Okay, so that's the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel. Sorry, I apologize. I mean, according to Rabbi Shmuel, the land that's being victimized is the Nizak's land. So the land that's going to be paid back, the quality of land that's going to be paid back is going to be from the perspective of the Nizak. Rabbi Kiva Sarva Meita Sade Yishalem Deheich Dekam Mishalem. And Rabbi Kiva says no. Right, this is exactly the ambiguity that I just tripped over. And Rabbi Kiva says no. When the Torah says Meita Sade, it means the best of his land, meaning the one who's doing the damage. Okay. Rabbi Yishmael, Ahani Gzeirah Shavah Hanikra. Now from Rabbi Yishmael's perspective, look, the Gzeirah Shavah is helpful, and the simple pshat in the pasuk is also helpful. Meaning Rabbi Yishmael says, I'm taking both into consideration. Ahani Gzeirah Shavah Lechada Amaren. Now in terms of the Gzeirah Shavah, just like what I said, meaning that from the perspective of the damaged, the Nizak, the Torah is saying, it goes on to his field, the animal goes on to his field. You pay the best of his field. So that's telling you that if I'm damaging someone else's property and his A is comparable to my C, well, I'm paying his best. Rabbi Yishmael says, that's where the Gzeirah Shavah helps you. I know the Gemara calls it Gzeirah Shavah. So let's do that as well. I don't have to be radical over here. So that's how the Gzeirah Shavah is going to help you. His A is comparable to my C, good. I'm going to be paying my C because it's his A. But a honey crop, but on the other hand also, Rabbi Shmuel will tell you, I'm also not going to deviate from the pasuk itself. Meaning, let's say the mazik has A and C. So again, I'm the one damaging. I have A property and C property. Now he's got his best property. His best property falls in between my A and my C. But I don't have a B. I only have A and I only have C. And now his property falls in between. Now where do we go? Because if I paid him my C, well, that's not his best. So where do we go over here? So Rabbi Shmuel says, this is where I'm going to leave the Gzeirah Shavah and I will go with the simple pshat of the pasuk. I'll pay him my best. So Kedid is the Nizak the Mishamle. I'm sorry, Lo Shavi Kedid is the Nizak the Mishamle. But Meitav, that's where I'm going to be paying Meitav Haaretz my best because I can't get away with paying him C. My C, is not comparable to his A. My C is less than his A. So there, I'm going to have to pay with my A. So Rabbi Shmuel has a textured understanding of the pasuk, a layered understanding of the pasuk, where if I have my C comparable to his A, again, I'm the damager. If I have my C comparable to his A, so then, perfect, Zereshava, Metav Sadeo, I'll pay him my C because that's comparable to his A. And I did give him the best of his property that was damaged. If, however, I don't have my C is not comparable to his A falls in between my A and my C, so then I'm going to have to pay my A. Because there, I had the simple pshat in the pasuk. So that's Rabbi Shmuel's understanding of the pesukim. Rabbi Kiva Amar, let's just give me a second. Rabbi Kiva Amar lo ba'kasav ala gabos on the zikim and aidis. So Rabbi Kiva says, no. The Torah only demands that you pay with the best of the mazik. Always the best of the mazik. The kavachomer lehekdesh. And it's a kavachomer, it's based on a logical argument from hekdesh. My kavachomer lehekdesh, the Gemara says, well, what does that mean? Meaning, where's Rabbi Kiva generating this kavachomer from? Gemara says, let's consider for just a moment. My animal gore is the animal that belongs to Hekdesh, right? Hekdesh is an entity, owns property, and people are donating animals to the Beis HaMikdash, and my animal goes ahead and does damage to the animal of Hekdesh. Shore Eyu Amarachmana Velo Shore Shal Hekdesh. There, an exemption. I don't have to pay Hekdesh. Why? Because the Torah, when outlining the rules of Nezek, only tells me that I'm payable if the aggrieved party is a person. But, I know this is a more modern terminology, a corporation is not a person. Or to put it more in line with what the Gemara's intent is, the Beis HaMikdash is not a person. And so therefore I don't have to pay the Beis HaMikdash for the damages that were incurred. Okay, it's an exemption. So that can't be. So what must it be? In other words, what's the kavachomer from Hekdesh that Rabbi Kiva was making reference to? It must be the following. Let's say I make a pledge to the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, $1,000 to the Beis HaMikdash. I just got an Ali and Shul, and they asked me what I want to pledge. Okay, $1,000 to the Beis HaMikdash. So I made an obligation to the Beis HaMikdash. Beis HaMikdash now is going to be knocking on my door. First they'll send me a letter. Then afterwards they'll come knocking on my door. They say, look, you made a pledge. You owe. Good. Where are they going to come collect from? It is. They're going to come and collect from my best. So the Gemara says, but I don't understand that. Lo yehela b'achov, v'achov dina b'beinus. Now, the Gemara says, I don't follow that thought process because I owe the Beis HaMikdash. That's called just a regular outstanding obligation. We learned in our Mishnah, all outstanding obligations are paid with Beinonis. So the Beis HaMikdash is not going to collect from my Eidus. So once again, what's Rabbi Akiva talking about when he says, Kavachomer from Hekdesh? V'chitim, because of Rabbi Akiva, Bachov, Shakal, Be'idus, Kenizakin. Now maybe you'll tell me, well, Rabbi Akiva just simply takes the position that a Bachov collects from Eidus and not from Beinonis. And if that's true, at least now we understand what Rabbi Akiva's point is. Even if that were true that a Bachov collects from Eidus, according to Rabbi Akiva, still, what's the Kavachomer from Hekdesh? Meaning, by Hekdesh, we just all learned together a moment ago that if my animal damages the animal of Hekdesh, I don't have to pay. So you can't generate a Kavachomer from Hekdesh when there's a built-in exemption of damages when my animal damages the animal of that belongs to Hekdesh. So you can't make a Kavachomer from Hekdesh. So la'olam nachay d'tordi done the Latour de Hekdesh. Okay, so the Gemara says, okay, we're going to go back to the drawing board. Again, Rabbi Kiva makes a statement and says that when I damage, I'm going to always have to pay with the Idis and the Idis and the Mazik, and how do I know that? Kavachomer from Hekdesh. What does that mean? Back to the drawing board, and we're going to go back to our first suggestion, which is, what happens if my animal gore is the animal that belongs to Hekdesh? Rabbi Kiva Sevelak, Rabbi Shimon Manasseh. Now, on this issue, Rabbi Kiva subscribes to the viewpoint of Rabbi Shimon Manasseh. Detanya, Rabbi Shimon Manasseh, Omer, Shor Shal Hekdesh, Shenaga, Shol Shor Shal Hejar, Patar. If Hekdesh is sure, were to damage my shore, so then I can't go after Hekdesh. It's a patur, it's an exemption. Vishal Hedjush and Nagach Lashor Shal Hekdesh, Baintam Bein Muad, Mishalem Nezek Shalem. Now, if my ox were to damage the ox of Hekdesh, not only do I have to pay, but it actually goes more than that. I have to pay Nezek Shalem, full damages. We know, I assume we all know this, we're going to see this in the beginning of Masechta Baba Kama, that generally speaking, when my ox does damage, so, and it's not a muad, it has not created a habit of doing this type of damage, so it's a tam, so I only pay chatzi nezek, I only have to pay half damages. We're going to be discussing this extensively in Baba Kama. However, if my tam were to damage the shore of Hekdesh, immediately I get bumped up to having to pay Nezek Shalem. That is the opinion of Rabbi Shimon ben Asya, and the Gemara says Rabbi Kiva lines up with the opinion of Rabbi Shimon ben Asya. Okay, so that is where we have now Rabbi Kiva lining up with Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh, and now let's come around full circle. So that's what Rabbi Kiva means when Rabbi Kiva says, we're going to, anytime you have Nezek, you're going to be paying with Iddes. How do I know that? Kavachomer from Hekdesh. Since in the world of Hekdesh, you have to pay immediately Nezek Shalem, so you see that the Torah was demanding of you when you damage Hekdesh, so when you damage somebody else, so you have to pay the best. And when we say the best, we mean not his best, we mean your best. Even though your C may be comparable to his A, the Torah is demanding that you have to pay your A. And Kal v'chomer from Hekdesh. That's where the Gemara stands right now in terms of understanding Rabbi Kiva's comment.
In the past, we've always learned that like Beit HaMikdash always gets the upper hand. Even like in terms of construction, if there's a contractor that made an...
Okay, all that...
Always get an upper hand.
So that's true. It's an exemption. Meaning, if you don't hold like Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh, so then your position is just simply to exert a custom. It's an exemption. Okay. So the Gemara says, you know what? Now that we're here, now that we know that there's a machlokus between Rabbi Shimon Manasseh and the Chachamim regarding damage that's done when my ox damages the ox that belongs to Hekdesh, according to the Chachamim, I pay nothing. According to Rabbi Shimon Manasseh, you actually pay everything. Now that we know that there's a machlokus over there, can't we go back to the Brisa, the original Brisa that we learned today, the machlokus between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel, and can't we say that really that's all they're arguing about? Meaning, instead of creating another machlokus between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel, let's just simply say they, Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel, are arguing over the same exact issue that Rabbi Shimon Manasseh and the Chacham are arguing. And that if we do that, then we could really minimize machlokus. And wouldn't that be great? To which the Gemara says, it would be great, but it's not going to work. So, I'm sorry, let me just first read the Gemara. Rabbi Kiva sevel like Rabbi Shimon Manasseh. Rabbi Shmuel sevel like Rabbanan. We have Rabbi Kiva lined up with Rabbi Shimon Manasseh. We have Rabbi Shmuel lined up with the Chachamim. And wouldn't that be nice? So the Gemara says, it would be nice, but it's just not going to work. Textually speaking, it's not going to work. Imke mai, lo ba kasav. So first of all, the language that's employed, lo ba ha kasav. The Rashi says, "De lo paligala deresha, my lo ba akasa de kama de mashma lo ba lakach ela lakach," meaning clearly just from the segue of the Brisa, where the Brisa says lo ba hakasav, clearly they're describing what happens when nezik is done from one person to another, not when one person is damaging the Beit HaMikdash. That's point number one. Va'od, and the Gemara says furthermore, my kavachomer lehekdesh, and on top of that, then what's the wording of the Brisa when the Brisa says, here, well, let's generate a kavachomer to Hekdesh. If what they're arguing about is actual damage that was done to Hekdesh, so why are we saying kavachomer to Hekdesh? That also doesn't make sense. V'od hamar avashi, and then the Gemara says, and if we haven't rejected this suggestion enough, Gemara says we're going to reject it out of hand. The Gemara now on top of Memtes Amud Beis, the Gemara says, Tanya Behedji, we learned in the Braisa, Metav Sadeo, Metav Karmo Yishalem, Metav Sadeo Shel, Nizak, Metav Karmo Shel, Nizak, Divrei Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Kiva Omer, Metav Sadeo Shel, Mazik, Metav Karmo Shel, Mazik. The Gemara quotes a Braisa, clearly they're arguing about based on whose quality, what great property are we going on? From the perspective of the damage, that's Rabbi Shmuel, or from the perspective of the damager, that's Rabbi Akiva. Okay, so Gemara just rejects it out of hand. So now, quick summary. What have we learned so far today? The Mishnah says that when you damage, you pay with Meitav Sedeh or Meitav Kamo. You pay with the best of your properties. Whose properties? Machlok is between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel says the best of the damaged properties. Rabbi Kiva says the best of the damager's properties. And when our Mishnah is teaching us that you pay the best of the, when the damager damages property, you pay with the best of his, our Mishnah is assuming, like Rabbi Shmuel, that the Torah only demands that you pay with the best of the damaged, not the damager. So if the damager's C-grade property is comparable to the damaged A-grade property, so the damager only needs to pay with C, Mina Torah. Tikkun Olam, however, what the Chachamim instituted is, you know what? We want to create a, almost like a punishment, if you will, for people to make sure, be more careful about damages. And so therefore, as a way of incentivizing people to be more careful, so we're going to require the damager to pay with his best, even though his best may be significantly greater than that of the damaged. And so our Mishnah is going like Rabbi Shmuel. That is all the first pshat in our Mishnah. Ravina Amar, back to the Gemara, Mem Testament Beis, La'ola Masis and Rabbi Akiva Hi. Let us suggest that really the author of our Mishnah is Rabbi Akiva. If that's true, the Amar Midarais about the Mazik Shamin Rabbi Shimon Hi, the Darish Time of the Kra. Now, how do you understand when our Mishnah says Tikkun Olam, which sounds like it's a rabbinic institution? No. The Gemara says it's not in a rabbinic institution. It's our Mishnah is subscribing to the viewpoint of Rabbi Shimon. What's Rabbi Shimon's viewpoint? Dorish time of dekra. The Torah gives us a mitzvah, and it is fair and reasonable for us to understand the reason behind the mitzvah. And really, not only is it fair and reasonable to understand the reason behind the mitzvah, but the reason behind the mitzvah can actually influence the halacha itself, once we know the reason. Okay, so umatam kamar, matam anizak in shamim lamiidis. Why is it that the Torah wants the mazik to have to pay with the best? Mimnei tikkun ha'olam. In other words, it's the Torah that's interested in tikkun ha'olam, meaning the Torah wants people to be more careful with their property, make sure their property doesn't damage other people's properties, and that's why the Torah wants us to pay with the best. So even though our Mishnah is using the word tikkun ha'olam, it's within the context of Rabbi Akiva, with the thought process of Rabbi Shimon. And by the way, just as a parenthetical note, it works out wonderfully because Rabbi Shimon was a student to Rabbi Akiva. When we say Rabbi Shimon, we normally assume Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, and Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai was one of the five students of Rabbi Akiva. So, just as a parenthetical note, that works out really well. Ditanya in the Gemara then quotes the Braisa. Amar Rabbi Shimon Mimnei Mamar Anizak and Shamalam Beidis Mimnei Hagazlan Mimnei Hamasnen. Why is it that when it comes to damages, you pay with the best? Because of thieves and chamasnim. Kedesh yomar adam lama ani gozav lama ani chomeis lamacha based in yordan l'nechzai v'not l'nsadana ashali v'samchan amasha katzapatara meitav sadeu u'meitav karma yishalein. Because it's going to allow the gazlanim and the chamasnim for a moment to think, wait one second, what am I going to do? I'm going to steal or I'm going to extort? It's not going to pay off. In fact, I know what's going to happen. I'm going to be taking the basin, and they're going to take my best properties. Let me put a pause over there. Okay, so that explains why when it comes to Nezik, you pay with the best and the best of the Mazik. Because of Gazlanim Chamasnim forcing them to think twice before stealing or extorting. Why is it that when a person is owed money, he only gets to be paid in Beinonis? We're worried about predatory lending, right? It's an issue that comes... It's as old as the Gemara. It's as recent as open up today's newspaper. So we're worried about predatory lending, where a person is looking at a property, saying to himself, right? You like that Freudian slip? Saying to himself, it looks like a great property, right? How do I get my hands in it? Oh, I know. I'll lend the money. I know he's going to default. I'll take the property away from him. So the Chachamim were worried about that. So therefore the Chachamim said that when you are owed money, you're only going to be paid with Beinonis. So it's going to hopefully, it's not going to totally take out predatory lending, but it'll calm it down, so to say. So now the Gemara says, "Elamai is a yehibiz divorce." The Gemara says, "Really, you want to do away with predatory lending?" So the Gemara says, "So I'll tell you what you do. have the lender only get paid backwards the boris. That'll totally do away with predatory lending. The Gemara says, "Imkena tanoa delas bifnei loven." The Gemara says, "Yeah, you know what? It'll do away with predatory lending. It'll also do away with lending in general." So, in other words, the balance. You realize that a lender, if you give him the itis, so then that'll just encourage predatory lending. If you give him the worst, that'll discourage lending altogether. Okay, so the balance is going to be that the lender is going to be paid back with beninus. And finally, k'suvas isha b'zer boros div Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Meirom b'beninus. How is the woman going to be paid back with her k'suva? So it's a machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yehuda says ziboris. Rabbi Meir says beninus. Amr b'shem amirim amr k'suvas isha b'ziboris. She yos mimasha isha rotzel lisa isha rotzel linase. So why is it that the woman is going to be paid back with her k'suva ziboris? Because she doesn't need the incentive to get married. A woman is predisposed to getting married. She likes being married. So for her, you don't have to dangle Beinu's property in front of her and say, oh look, marriage is wonderful. Look, you're going to get Beinu's property. In other words, no. Obviously, you write the ksuba. It's going to protect her. It's there to serve as a way of ensuring that the husband doesn't flippantly divorce her. But at the same time, however, you don't need Beinu's property put in front of her in order to incentivize her to get married. She'll be happy with the Beinu's. I'm sorry, with the Ziboris. And then there's a second point. And tomorrow when we start, we'll go over the second point. We'll go over what's behind the second point. So, where do we stand so far today? Opened ourselves into the world of Perek HaNizakin, the fifth Perek of the Masechta. We're leaving the world of Gittin throughout this Perek. Next 2 weeks of Daf is going to be very heavily discussing Tikkun Olam, damages of, right now, next couple of days, damages of property. The grading system of property, A, B, and C. No one's going to get shortchanged. Everyone's going to get commensurate to the damage that was done. It's just a question of which property is going to be used. People generally want a smaller amount of high grade property. And then an understanding today of our mission, when our mission says Tikkun Olam, that the Nizek pays with the best property because of Tikkun Olam, so there are basically two approaches to the Mishnah. One, our Mishnah is going like Rabbi Shmuel, and when the Torah says the best, it means the best of the Mazik, and the Chachamim amped it up to the best Rabbi Cohen to Rabbi Shmuel, it's the best of the Nizak, and the Chachamim amped it up to the best of the Mazik to make the Mazik think twice again and be more protective of his properties. Or the other way to understand our Mishnah is going like Rabbi Akiva, and when the Mishnah says Tikkun Olam, it means Rabbi Shimon's understanding of the Torah is that the Torah enforces the best of the Mazik because of Tikkun Olam, meaning time of the Krah. And then finally, we finished off today by understanding why the Bachov is paid with Beinonis, basically to create a balance between, on one hand, we don't want predatory lending, on the other hand, we do want lending, so that's why you pay with Beinonis. And finally, the Machlok is regarding Suvasisha, it's either going to be Beinonis or Zivaris, and tomorrow we'll start with that discussion.